Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very top line of Daf Nun. We will be engaging in the opening section of today's Gemara with calculations and references to coinage in the context of Pidyon HaBen. We are generally of the understanding that Pidyon HaBen is the giving of 5 pieces of silver to a Kohen in redeeming the firstborn male child that a person has. What is meant, or what is referred to by these 5 pieces of silver? How large are they? What are they? So this will be the focus of the Gemara. Of course, the Gemara will be making reference to coins that the Gemara knew. As far as practical halacha is concerned, how one is supposed to operate today, that already is a question of how to apply information contained in the Gemara and in Rishonim and to common current action. Our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Dinra Hadriyana Taraino Shaifa. Rashi at the top line says, Dinar Hadriana, Dinar Zohov, Shetovua Bimatbe Adrianus Kesar, a gold coin that's minted with the imprimatur of this Adrian the Caesar, the Turinus Kesar, Turinus, another name of a Caesar, Roman emperors, the Shaifa. Rashi says, Shame Hamelech. Regarding Shaifa, there are other interpretations. Another interpretation suggests something that is rubbed out. The Rabbeinu Gershom says, Klomar, he says, it's Shehu Meshufshaf Miyushan. There's a Girsa that says, Icon Shalo, Icon, the image, a word that we actually use today as well in different contexts. The image on the coin is Meshufshaf and Miyushan. So whichever interpretation you use, we're referring to a golden coin, a golden minted coin, the Mizdavno Be'esrim V'chamisha Zuzi. The Gemara says that you purchase this gold dinar with 25 dinar, another kind of dinar. It's a dinar shel kesef, silver dinar. So the one gold dinar will cost you 25 pieces of silver. Now you'll notice a volcano shape that appears over the next few lines. On the outside margin, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, Nosei being topic heading, Mivneh, structural note, we feature this marking, this volcano shape, and we've noted Cheshboinois B'chishuv HaKesef L'Pidyon HaBen. We'll be making some calculations in order to conclude how many silver pieces are used for Pidyon HaBen. So right now, we're describing a gold coin, this Dinar Hadriana, that you would need 25 pieces of silver in order to buy it, or its exchange value. So I know that we're referring to a certain type of silver coin, 25 of which gets you this golden coin. Dal minayhu shtusa, subtract 1/6. Well, you take 25, that's the 25 silver coins, subtract 1/6. Well, 1/6 of 25 is 4 1/6. The inoch, what's left, the balance, lepidyon haben. That will be used for Pidyon HaBen. Now, what number do you come up with when you take 25 and subtract 4 1/6? you come out with 20 5/6. The Gemara asks, "Hani esrin v'chad nechi danko havi." That is 21. Nechi means minus danko, a sixth. It comes out to 20 5/6. So it's 21 minus a sixth. It's 20 5/6. And we know that Pidyon HaBen is accomplished by 20, or let us say 20 dinar, which equals 5, 20 silver dinar, which equals 5 silver sela. 5 silver sela is 20 dinar, not 20 5/6. Let us take a look at the Rashi, third line from the top. Dal minayu shtusa, v'inoch, the balance, l'pidyon haben. The svirulei, the sloim shel b'chor, the sloim, the 5 selah coins that are given in redeeming a firstborn male child. Heim sloim shel arba dinar. They are selah coins that contain 4 dinar. The hu sela tsuri, that is known, the sela is known as the tsuri sela. Demoti lechamisha sloim, that when you have 5 of them, you come out with esrim dinar, 20 dinar. That's a basic assumption. So that when you tell me that the dinar hadriana is worth 25 dinar kesef, and you then tell me subtract a sixth, and that's the amount you use for pidyon haben, well, there's something inaccurate, because you come out with a number 20 5/6 silver dinar, and we know that pidyon haben is accomplished with 20, not 20 5/6, 20 silver dinar, which it really is the same as 5 sloim of silver. So there's something wrong with this calculation. Ella, so we start again, a new calculation. We're trying to figure the amount used for pidyon haben using this golden dinar hadriana as our focus. Ella, dal shtusa vizuza v'hanoch l'pidyon haben. You take those 25 dinar kesef that would be used to buy the, or exchange for the dinar hadriana, subtract a sixth plus 1 zuz. 1 zuz in the Gemara, zuz is a dinar. So if I do that, I took 25, I subtract the sixth, I get to 20 5/6, and then I subtract 1 more zuz, which is a dinar, that gets me to 19 5/6. And the Gemara is saying, and that is what you use for pidyon haben. The Gemara asks, Akati, but still, esrin nechi danko havi. It comes out to 20 minus a sixth. That's 19 5/6. And we know that you use 20, not 19 5/6, but 20 dinar, which equals 5 sela for pidyon haben. Elo, dal zuza ushtusa v'hanoch l'pidyon haben. Rather, what you do is you take off from the 25, you take off 1 zuz, which is a dinar. You're left then with 24, and now subtract a sixth of 24, which is 4. The balance is pidyon haben. The havi lehu, the balance comes out to esrim maskeli b'maskeli dinra, which means 20 weights or pieces of dinar tsuri. Rashi on this says, deinun esrim Davul esrin maskeli b'maskeli dinra b'mishkal dinar tsuri. Kida Precious, as was explained. And we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Rashi. You can compare that to, or align that with the arrow above, where Rashi mentioned that the Pidyon HaBen is in terms of five Selah, each one having four dinar in it, and that was the Selah Tsuri that was alluded to earlier. The Gemara goes on to tell us that these 20 dinar tsuri, which is the 5 selah tsuri, equals the inun. Now the Gemara gives us another coinage, which is a parallel value to the 20 dinar tsuri. This parallel coinage is in terms of an Arabian coinage. Up till now, we're talking about tsuri. Tsuri is a tsur coinage. Sur is the name of a place. And now we get another coin, which is as follows. The 20 dinar tsuri equals esrin vitamne zuzi upalga. That's 28 and a half dinar upalga the danka, and a half of a sixth bedinar aravya. So that's 28 and a half and 1/12 dinar, Arabian dinar. So that the 20 of the tsur rate is equal to this 28 plus of the Arabian rate. My understanding is that on a superficial level, the Gemara, in the time of the Gemara, they were familiar with these different coinages, and this would help them conclude how much was to be used for Pidyon HaBen. As we mentioned earlier, today you have to do further research, which is of course done by Sforum dealing with practical law, Halacha Lemaisa, and they come out with what we are expected to give today in terms of Pidyon HaBen. Omar Rova. Silim de Oraisa, Rava says the Torah Sela value, Tilosa Vitilso Have, is 3 1/3 dinar. Notice 1 Sela is 3 1/3 dinar. Before, we had spoken about 1 Sela having 4 dinar in it, and you give 5 Sela to a Kohen, which would be 20 dinar in value. Rava says something else. And how are we going to resolve Rava with what we said above? This we will see later in the Gemara. Rava refers to the sloim of the Torah. They were 3 1/3 dinar tsuri. Dichtiv, how does Rava know this sela dinar relationship? Dichtiv, Esrim Gero HaShekel. The word Shekel in the Torah is the same as a Sela. Umetargaminon Esrin Moin. And the Targum of this, the Aramaic explanation of this word Gero is a Mo'o, 20 Mo'o. So we know that one Sela equals 20 mo'o. We have a little table on the side of the Gemara in order for you to be able to make quick reference to these equivalencies. So one sela is 20 mo'o. Vitanya, sheish mo'o kesef dinar. That one dinar has 6 mo'o. Now I see at this point a sela dinar relationship through the mo'o. That and what is that relationship? We can say one dinar, the dinar to the sela is the same as 6/20. That's 6/20, 6 more in a dinar, over 20 more that's in a sela, 6/20. And if you reduce that to whole numbers, you come out with 3 1/3. That's 3 times 6 would get you 18, with a remainder of 2. to six, which is a third. So that from here we see what Rava is saying, that a sela has in it three and a third dinar. Mesve. The Gemara raises a question on Rava from a Tanaic source. We are not going to get into the details of this Tanaic source in the context of our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shir, but we're going to extract from it the point that's of importance for the question. The background of this source deals with someone who sanctified his field to the Beis HaMikdash during a Yovel year. And he wants to redeem it. He wants to get it back from the Beis HaMikdash. So when one is makdish, his personal field, his inheritance field to the Beis HaMikdash, there is a Torah redemption rate. And there is a that Torah redemption rate is figured in terms of 50 pieces of silver. And there is a per year value that when one is makdish a field, ordinarily if the field stays in the rishus of Hegdish, if it's not redeemed for a period of 50 years, and then it's given, distributed to the Kohanim. In the event that someone wants to redeem it, so he has the option, and it's an option, it's a rate based on a Torah value, per year Torah value. Torah value is in terms of, in contrast with market value. It's an established rate, a fixed rate. So there's a fixed annual rate for the redemption of this field that was sanctified. And it says in this source, V'halo sela shel kodesh arboim u'shmoina punyonim. The kodesh sela, the sela as a coin, as we've mentioned earlier, has in it 48 punyonim. Punyonim is another type of coin, a much smaller coin. Punyon ze ma'ativoi. When you make the calculation over 50 years, and you accumulate, you add up all the numbers, you come out with an extra punyon, and the Bryce is asking, what is, how do we account for this extra punyon? So he says, kilboin lefrotrot. It's an extra coin to compensate for any, let's say, rub out or depreciation that any of the coins that he's using to pay Hegdish for the redemption, so it's there for compensation of that rub out. What's important for us, though, in this source, is that if you tell me that a sela has 48 punyonim, and I know that as background that a dinar has 12 punyonim in it, it comes out that a sela has in it 4 dinar. Once again, if you tell me in this source that a sela is 48 punyon and 1 dinar is 12, so 12 over 48 is a 1 to 4 relationship, 1 fourth. That means a dinar is 1 fourth of a sela. So 1 sela has in it 4 dinar. That is a kasha on Rava. So that we have written in between the lines the main point, and that is that a sela is 4 dinar, not like Rava, who mentioned 3 and a third dinar. The Gemara answers, but Rava, the comment made in this source that refers to a sela having 4 dinar, Boser de Osifu Alaihu. This is after an increase took place. The Sanyo, Esrim Geiro HaShekel. Lomadnu l'shekel shu esrim geira. We know, and this we saw above, that the shekel, which is a sela, has in it 20 geira, which we saw was 20 more, and we concluded that since there are 6 more in a dinar, there would be 3 and a third dinar in a sela. Uminayin shimrotza lahoysif Yosef. From where do we know that if they would want to increase the size of a sela that they could, Talmud Lomar, yihye. The word yihye implies an additional value, and that's a reference to a right to increase. Yochol yifhois, could it mean that they also can reduce the value? Talmud Lomar, who? The word who indicates no. It can't be reduced to less than the Torah rate, but it can be increased. So the original sela contained 3 1/3 dinar. As a result of increase, it was made into 4. The sela was made into something containing 4 dinar. Rav Ashi, a little story involving Pidyon HaBen. Rav Ashi shodar lei shivsar zuzi l'rav acho brei d'rovo b'Pidyon HaBen. Rav Ashi needed to redeem a son of his, so he sent 17 zuz. 17 zuz are dinar to Rav Acho, who was a kohen. Sholach lei, Rav Ashi sent a message to Rav Acho, who, let's say, just received the 17 dinar. Lishtar li mar tilso yaseir to deiko aluyayhu. Send me change, namely tilso yaseir to, an extra third of a dinar, which represents the odef, or the extra that you got. I sent you 17. How many are you supposed to get? Well, we saw Rova above mentioning that a kohen gets 5 sela. How much is in each sela? Well, Rova told us above there are 3 1/3 dinar in each sela. So you get 5 sloim, 5 times 3 1/3, which would get you to the dinar equivalency, namely 5 times 3 1/3 is 16 2/3. That's how much Rav Ashi thought a kohen is supposed to receive. So instead of sending 16 2/3 to Rav Acho, Rav Ashi sent 17. Well, there's a balance, or there's a remainder, an extra, that Rav Acho should send back, namely 1/3 of a dinar. Sholach lei, so Rav Acho sends back, lishdar li mor tloso achrina. You actually sent me only 17. You should be sending me 3 extra. De osifu iluyayhu. They increased the size of the sela. And a kohen is supposed to receive 5 increased size sloyim, which equals 20 dinar. You sent me only 17. So there is a balance of 3 full dinar that you still owe me. Omar Rabbi Hanina. Kol kesef ha'omer b'Torah stam, sela. When the Torah, meaning the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, makes reference to the word kesef, it is a reference to the sela. Dinavim, if you see a reference to kesef in the books of the prophets, the Nevi'im, litrin. Kesef is a reference to 25 sela. The Ksuvim, when you see a reference to kesef in the Ksuvim, the third section of the Tanakh, the chof of the word Tanakh refers to the Ksuvim, sometimes referred to in English as the writings. The word kesef there is kinterin, is a reference to 100 sela. Chutz min kaspo shel Ephraim. The exception to this rule, or this declaration of Rabbi Hanina, is the case of Ephron, who sold the Moras HaMachpelot to Avram Avinu, she'af al pi shekosuv b'Torah stam, even though the word kesef appears in that transaction, kinterin. The Pusuk made reference to Arba Meos Shekel Kesef. So you see, there's 400 Shekel Kesef. So it's 400 kinterin. That would mean it's 400 times 100. That's the amount. Well, 400 times 100 would be 40,000 sloim. Dichtiv, how do I know that in the Ephron story, the kesef referred to is in terms of kinterin? That the word kesef is kinterin, dichtiv. The pasuk says, arba meis shekel kesef oiver la socher. Which has to do with, it says 400 shekel kesef, over la socher, that's used in commerce. The Iko Duchta, there are places, the Kokoru Lekintara, there are places that refer to the Kintara, Tikla. They call Kintara Tikla. Tikla, if you take the tough of that word, interchange it with a shin, you get to the word Shekel. So the Pasuk by Avram, you can see quoted two lines up in the transaction of Marsa Machpelah, made a reference to 400 Shekel Kesef. So Shekel is Kintara. 400 kintara kesef, which would then mean 400 times kintara. And that kintara is 100 sela, which would be 40,000 sloyim. As we go on in the Gemara, you notice a new marking with a numbering that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. On the outside margin under our Nosei heading, we have a Nosei topic and Mivneh structural note. The little house form is Shnei Shlavim. There are two stages. Bahavonas Hava Amina, in understanding the initial thought that is expressed in the Gemara, Lignois Kol Kesef Izav Sheba Olam, to put away, to hide, to bury all the gold and silver of the world. Otu Hashash Yesh Bom Kesef Izav Shir Shalayim, because of the fear that in the gold and silver that one finds may be gold and silver that's left over from the time of the destruction of Yerushalayim, which is a reference to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in which there were holy funds. Hektish funds, she'osur b'hanoa, one is not allowed to benefit from that which is hektish. So if one runs into gold and silver, it may be it is gold and silver from the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, there was this sentiment or this thought to ban all gold and silver. This will be presented in two stages as we learn the Gemara. Amar Rav Hoshaya, Bikshu Lignois Kol Kesef Izav Sheba Olam. There was this thought to put away, to hide, Lignois is to put away, all the gold and silver in the world. Now when we say put away in the world, it doesn't mean that I go to India and I go to jewelry shops and put and hide there and bury their gold and silver. It means that if you as a Jew chance upon gold and silver, you acquire it, put it away, because of the fear that it may be from the gold and silver of Yerushalayim, which we said was sanctified. Ad shemotzu lo mikra min haTorah shumuter, until there was discovered a posuk in the Torah that says you really don't have to worry. Shinamar, the posuk says uvo ba pritzim v'chileluha. This means that the pritzim, the intruders, the destroyers came. The chiluluha, chiluluha is from a lashon of chulin, meaning the mundane, which means that when you have that which is sanctified is plundered by an army, is plundered and taken away by the enemy forces, it automatically loses its sanctity. It becomes chulin. So that nowadays, if there's any remnant of the plundered gold and silver, it doesn't have that original sanctity. The Gemara asks, V'Yerushalayim havyaruba di'alma? Does the gold and silver of Yerushalayim represent the majority of gold and silver of the world? In other words, what do I need a pasuk to justify the benefit one may receive from gold and silver? Because otherwise, without the pasuk, I would have thought it to be forbidden. That's not true. Even without the pasuk, I wouldn't have thought the gold and silver of the world to be forbidden because of the gold and silver of Yerushalayim. After all, the gold and silver of Yerushalayim is not the majority of the world's gold and silver. And being that it was the minority of the world's gold and silver, even without a pasuk, I would know that gold and silver that I chance upon is from the majority, is from the rove. And I wouldn't have to assume any problem in the first place. And therefore, I wouldn't need a pasuk to justify my benefit from gold and silver that I chance upon. So what was intended by Rav Hoshaya when he mentions that there was some type of intent to ban gold and silver of the world? Ella, Omar Abaye. Here is a restatement. Bikshu lignois dinra hadriana teraina shaifa mipnei tivo shel Yerushalayim. We made reference to this coin at the top line of the page, this Hadrian or Tyranian or Shaifa type dinar. Those coins, the majority of that coinage, of that type of coin, that type of dinar, were in Yerushalayim. The majority of the Tyranian or Hadrian dinarim were in Yerushalayim. So that if you nowadays chance upon a Hadrian dinar, the majority of chances are that it was from Yerushalayim. It was sanctified. So that if I find it today, I should not be allowed to benefit from it. However, ad shemotzu lo mikrom in the Torah shu mutar, until they found a pasuk in the Torah that indicates that it would be allowed. Shenamar vobo pritzim v'chiluluha. The plunderers came and rendered it mundane, non-holy. Turning to the top of Amud Beis, before going on in the Gemara, we have a structural note that accompanies this. As you can see in the Gemara, a crown form appears around Rav Asi's name, and to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 1, and when you see a 1, you have to find a 2, and if you scan down the page, you'll notice a number 2 also in this crown form. On the margin of our Gemara, the Nosei Mivne, you see the crown form featured with Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shnei Lishonos B'divrei Rav Asi. There are two versions of Rav Asi that will be presented in the Gemara. Shemechalek Bein Kesef HaOmor B'Torah Kesef Shumi Divreim, which makes a distinction between Kesef that the Torah alludes to and Kesef that is of a rabbinic origin. We will then notice diamonds that appear in the Gemara. These are Sidra Shel Kushyos Al Halishna Kama. They will be a series of questions that challenge the first version. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Asi. Kol Kesef HaOmer B'Torah Stam equals Kesef Tsuri. Where you see Kesef mentioned in the Torah, it follows the Tsuri rate. Tsur was the name of a place, and it had a specific type of coinage with an understood value to their coins. So the Torah reference to Kesef is the same as the Tsur Kesef coinage. Rashi at the top line, Kesef Tsuri, Hecho Dichtiv Shekel, where the Torah uses the word Shekel, Havi Sela Tsuri, Dehu Arbo Dinri, Kiruki Rabbi Yochanan Liel. A Sela of Tsur has in it 4 dinar, as Rabbi Yochanan spoke about on Omid Aleph. The Hecho Delok Siv Shekel Elo Kesef. If you see in the Torah a reference to Kesef without the word Shekel, so Havi Dinar Tsuri. It's a reference to a Tsuri Dinar. Continuing in the Gemara, Vishel Divrehem, Kesef Medina. References to Kesef made by the rabbis something that's of rabbinic origin, is a reference to the Kesef Medina, which is 1/8 of the Tsuri rate. Now we start a series of questions on what was just said. Uklolahu, is this a hard and fast rule? Hare Taina Dichtiv, the case of Taina is a person laying claim against his friend, claiming, you owe me. In other words, a person may say, I entrusted by you such and such. I want it back. And the person being claimed from responds, I don't owe you that amount, I owe you part of that amount. That's called moide b'miktsas. So the realm of moide b'miktsas generates a need for the one who is denying to swear that he owes only the partial amount that's being claimed. How much must be the initial claim in order to generate this whole story? So the Gemara continues. Dichtiv, ki ten ish el re'ehu kesef oy kelim lishmor. The pasuk describes someone entrusting by his friend kesef, or vessels, to watch. And now the owner is coming, claiming he wants them to be returned. Utnan, shvuas havayonim, the shvua, the oath imposed by judges, which is a reference to an oath imposed because of a partial admission. The admission is coming on the heels of a claim. How large must the claim have been in order to justify the imposition of an oath in the event that there is partial admission? So the source tells us, Hataino Shte Kesef, the original claim must be for Shte Kesef. And Shte Kesef means two Mo'os. Now we saw Mo'os referred to on Omid Aleph. Two Mo'os is a third of a dinar. One dinar containing six Mo'os. Two Kesef is a reference, once again, to two Mo'os. Well, one second now. You're saying then that the Torah, which mentions the word kesef, which you can see just the line above, kitein yishareu kesef okeilim, and that kesef is interpreted as referring to a third of a dinar. But according to Rav Yehuda's rule, where you see the word kesef in the Torah, stam, it's a reference to a full dinar. One dinar, not a third of a dinar. The Gemara answers, Shaini Hasam, that case is different. Dichtiv, the pasuk regarding the claim of a shomer, of someone who was the claim of the owner to the shomer, it said, Kesef o Kalim. Ma Kalim Shnayim, just the word Kalim is in the plural, is two. Af Kesef equals Shnayim. So too, the word Kesef is a reference to two. Uma Kesef Dover Choshuv, just like kesef has some, it has importance, but it really means it has a minimal level of importance. Af kelim dover choshuv, so too the type of vessels that are claimed in order to generate an oath must be vessels that have some minimum type of significance to them. So from the comparison to the word kelim, I derive that the kesef spoken about is something that has a minimal value of a minimal amount of value or amount of significance, and two of them. So what is that? So Rashi explains that the kesef that we can call a davar choshev, and also the minimum amount of kesef that's called a choshev, mo'or kesef, and that means then the claim must be two mo'or kesef. For our purposes, though, even though the realm of Shavuos is a Torah realm, and there's a Torah reference to Kesef, it's not bound to Rav Asi's rule because the word Kesef appears in the context of Kalim, which generates or enables this drosha to take place. But in general, kesef will mean a tsuri dinar. The Gemara continues. Vahare meiser dichtiv v'tzarta hakesef biyodecha. Meiser is a reference to 1/10 of one's fruits that one must tithe. Is a tithe of one's harvest, the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of an agricultural cycle. A person sets aside 1/10 of his produce to be brought to Yerushalayim. Now, if a person has a large agricultural concern, there might be a lot of fruits in that 1/10. So the Torah gives a person an option of redeeming the value of the fruits onto coins, and then taking the coins to Yerushalayim and spending it in buying food and eating the purchased food in Yerushalayim. This transfer of sanctity from the fruits onto the coins is called Pidyon Meiser Sheni. Now, there may be a situation that the person was transferring his Meiser Sheni fruits onto coins, but they were many in number, so he'll want to transfer those many coins onto a larger type coin. So we continue in our discussion with a Tanaic source that says, Utnan haporet sela meiser sheni. This is describing a person who gathers his prutos. Those are small copper coins on which he was doing his initial Meiser Sheni redemption, transfer of fruit sanctity onto these prutos, and he wants to exchange the prutos for a larger silver coin. It's much easier at times, let's say, it's important for the person to do this for making it easier to carry them to Yerushalayim. Instead of carrying large sacks of prutos, he can carry a change purse full of sloyim. What's important for us, though, from here? We see the Torah making reference to a redemption of Meiser Sheni onto Kesef. It said, Tzarto HaKesef Biyodecha. And according to Rav Asi's rule, that would have meant you're redeeming your Meiser Sheni fruits onto Dinarim of Kesef. Dinar Tzuri. And yet, we see in a practical level, people were redeeming their Meiser Sheni fruits onto copper coins called Prutos. So the Gemara, and of course that would be a problem for Rav Asi. So the Gemara answers, Kesef Kesef Reba. In the Torah section concerning Meiser Sheni, the word Kesef appears numerous times. The repeated reference to Kesef in the case of Meiser Sheni indicates to me that there are many more coin options in the case of Meiser Sheni, then, would be in other areas of Torah law. So, at this point then, Rav Asi's rule stands, and the case of Meiser Sheni is an exception, because of Kesef Kesef Reba. The Gemara goes on with a new question. V'hare hekdish dichtiv v'nosan ha-kesef v'komloi. This is a reference to redeeming something that was sanctified. Let us say someone made a dedication or a sanctification of some item to the Beis HaMikdash, and he wants to redeem it. So the Torah says he shall give the kesef in exchange for the item he wants to redeem. According to Rav Asi, he would have to give a minimum of a dinar. And yet we learn, V'yomar Shmuel hekdishav emoneh, shechilu lashav epruta mechulal. Hektish is something that had been sanctified or dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash that may be worth a mona. A mona is a large coin in value, so it's worth a mona. Shechilolo, that was redeemed onto something worth a pruta, the redemption takes hold. Hey, but according to Rav Asi, redemption of hektish must be on a minimum of a dinar. And here Shmuel is teaching me it can be done even on a pruta, which is a much smaller type coin, it's a small copper coin, and the redemption takes effect. So that's a challenge to Rav Asi's rule. The Gemara answers, Hektish Nami Yalif Kodesh Kodesh Mimaiser. The realm of Hektish is learned from the realm of Miser through a word comparison using the word Kodesh. And we discovered already in the realm of Miser that there are more options, that there is the option of redeeming the Miser Sheni onto Prutos. Likewise, there is a possibility, there is the option of redeeming Hektish onto Prutos. So, again, we've defended Rav Asi's rule, and the stories or the issues that we've raised as challenges turn out to be exceptions by virtue of scriptural reference. Frek the Gemara, the Gemara asks, V'harei kidushe isha d'chtiv v'yotze chinom ein kosef. Based on this pasuk, we learn the amount that must be paid to a woman if you want to marry her, if you want to gain her acceptance to an offer of marriage. So we learn that you have to give her kesef. We learn that from this pasuk. So we have a Torah reference to kesef, utnan, beishamay omrim bedinor beshavadinor, ubeisil omrim bepruto beshavapruto. We have in Maseches Kiddushin a machlokes between Beisham Beisila, how much must be offered to the woman in marriage. It comes out that kesef that's referred to in the Torah may in fact be a dinar, but that's if you happen to hold according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says that the Torah expectation is for you to give the woman a minimum of a pruta. Now, Rav Asi above said kesef that you find in the Torah is a reference to kesef tsuri. And we saw the Rashi above that is, means a dinar. Are you to say then that Rav Asi's rule above is in conformity to Beis Shammai? And now we know that Beis Shammai, which was an early Tanaic authority, relative to Rav Asi, was an Amoira. Beis Shammai is not the opinion that's generally accepted when it comes to halachic rulings. So are you to tell me that Rav Asi's rule above is in conformity to Beis Shammai, which is generally the non-accepted position? Lemo Rav Asi de'omar ke Beis Shammai. Because only according to Beis Shammai do you see a reference to a dinar in the context of marriage. And yet Rav Asi said that the Torah reference to kesef is a dinar. So it comes out that Rav Asi is conforming to Beis Shammai. And that puts Rav Asi in a very uncomfortable position because he's saying something that is in accordance with the non-accepted opinion. As a result of this, we come to our second approach. Elo I itmar hochi itmar. Omar viro omar Rav Asi. In our Gemara markings, when we approach a second version, we usually use a squiggle underline to indicate the point of transition. This squiggle underline we use in many different circumstances of transition points or expressions indicating contrast. In this case, we've used the marking for the expression I itmar, hochi itmar. If it was ever said, it was said thusly. Omer Yehuda, Omer Rav Asi, ko kesef kotsuv ha'omor b'Torah, kesef tsuri. V'shel devrayim, kesef medina. The new element of this version is the expression kotsuv. So Rav Asi is telling us any case of fixed Torah rate, a Torah rate or a Torah amount that's stated explicitly in the Torah, that will be based on the dinar tsuri, the tsuri dinar rate. Things that are of rabbinic origin, Torah or rabbinic coin rates, are evaluated in terms of the kesef medina, which is a type of coinage 1/8 the value of the Kesef Tzuri. The Gemara asks, well, if that's what Rav Asi is coming to teach us, and Rav Asi is an Amoira, don't we know this already from Tanaic sources? My Chomash Molon, what do I need Rav Asi's rule for? Tanina, we have in our Mishnah Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis Chomesh Sloim Shel Ben, and it goes on to say there that's Bemona Tzuri, and there are references there in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis to other payments as well, in addition to the Chomesh Sloim of the Pidyon Ben. Shloshim Shel Eved, which is also a fixed Torah rate regarding the killing of an Eved, and the Chamishim of Oines, the Mefatav, Motzi Shema, these are all things, all topics referenced to in the Torah. So we know this already, that fixed Torah rates are according to the Tzuri coinage. So the Gemara answers, you want to know what I need Rav Asi's comment for? For the second part of his comment, Vishel Divrayim Kesef Medina, it's Dericha Lei. That when there is, Divrayim means rabbinic Torah rates, they are figured in terms of the Kesef Medina coinage, which is, as we said, 1/8 of the Tzuri coinage. Disnan, Hatoykeh Lechavero Noisein Loi Selah. This is a Tanaic source giving a fine or penalty rate for one who injures his friend through this action called Tokea Lechavero. Rashi gives two pshatim on what Tokea Lechavero is. One is he hits his friend on his ear, or the other one is he is an audio blast that he makes near his friend's ear, causing hearing damage. Either way, it's a form of damage that one inflicts on his friend, and there's a rate that he has to pay, and that's a selah. This establishment of injury rate, a rate for payment of damages, is of rabbinic origin. Velo tamo selah equals arbazuzi. Don't say, and this is the point of Rav Asi, don't say that the seller referred to here is for zuz, ela palga de zuza. It's the reference to 1/2 a zuz. The kori inshi sela, people will refer to a sela palga de zuza. So that when you see in this source the word sela referred to, and we know we're talking about a rabbinic area of law, it is a reference to 1/2 a zuz. We saw earlier in today's Gemara that the term zuz is a reference to a dinar. So it's 1/2 a dinar. Now a little story that concerns the issue of infliction of damages. Hanan Bisha, Hanan the bad Hanan, Hanan is a name, Toka Le Lahu Gavra. He inflicted an injury to his friend through this action called Toka. He hit his friend's ear. Also the Kame to Rav Huna, the case came to Rav Huna, Omar Le, Rav Huna ruled, Hav Le Palga de Zuza. Well, you, bad Chonon, you've got to pay 1/2 a zuz in damages. Hav Le, the top of Nun Aleph, Omen Aleph, Hav Le Zuza Mocho Vahadei, the low Nofik. Chonon had a full zuz coin, but a zuza mocha is a rubbed out zuz. Something, the loan offering that people wouldn't accept. So you have Chonon here who's got a ruling to pay 1/2 a zuz. All he has is this rubbed out full zuz coin. You would think that he would try to get change for it, but we're told here it's rubbed out, people aren't going to accept it. So they're not going to give him any change. They're not going to give him 2/2 zuz with which he could pay the damages. So you know what bad Chonon did? Toka le zimne achrina. He hit the guy a second time, viave nihale, and then gave him the full zuz, 2/2 zuz, full zuz. He gave him the rubbed out zuz that he had in his possession. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.